preach here in Jesus' name. A month ago, the Lord told me to stay in Luke. I've been in Luke all month. We'll be in Luke next Sunday again. Some things in life, you don't know why until it happens. And I had no idea why the Lord told me to stay in Luke, but it all makes sense now. Last year, the Lord told me through His Spirit to move after we had finished doing half of the New Testament. He said, shift to Proverbs. And I just kept hearing it over and over again. I didn't know why. He said, shift. Don't finish the New Testament. But in 2019, shift to Proverbs. And we stopped around Corinthians and shifted to Proverbs. And now we know why we shifted to Proverbs, because of what we got at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. If you read Proverbs, every danger that Solomon warns us against is in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And so I thank those of you who are Bible study students who come, and we're going to finish Proverbs before our summer break. But I heard the Lord shift, and so I had to just shift. And then I heard the Lord say, stay in Luke. And we started in Luke with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was up in that tree to see Jesus. But more importantly, not only did Zacchaeus see Jesus, but Jesus saw him. And then we learned last week why he wept over Jerusalem. That he cried over Jerusalem. He cried because of the legalistic oppression. As the people were oppressing those blind men who wanted to see Jesus and talk to Jesus, and they told him to be quiet. And never, ever, ever let anybody make you be quiet. Especially when you got something praised. Don't ever let nobody ever suppress your praise. Amen. And they wanted to hear Jesus because they could not see Jesus. And so he cries because of that legalistic oppression. He cries because of that lost opportunity that Jerusalem had to receive him as their Messiah. It's a lost opportunity. They lost the opportunity to receive him then as their Messiah. Then he cries because they rejected his love offering, which was simply his love. And no, it might not make sense to you, but there's some of us who have rejected his love offering. That he loves us when you don't even think he's loving you. That even everything you've gone through, every trial and every tribulation has been for your good. For all things work together for good to them that love God, that are called according to his purpose. And so now we finish and we'll look at Luke, and we'll look at Luke on next Sunday. Luke 24, just verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early. Somebody say early. Somebody say early. Like a Baptist preacher, say early. Very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with. Now, upon the first day of the week, which is Sunday. The first day of the week, y'all, ain't Monday. That's when you start work. But this is the first day of the week. When you look at your calendar, it says Sunday through Saturday. The first day of the week is Sunday. Very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices, which they had prepared, and certain others with them. They came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. As crazy as it might sound, but I want to talk this Resurrection Sunday morning about the Spice Girls. As crazy as it might sound, that's what I want to talk about this Sunday morning about the Spice Girl. If it's Jesus, don't answer it, because I'm going to have to call the funeral. My brothers and my sisters, between the second week of April and the second week of August, ain't really much for your pastor to watch on TV. Between the Masters and when the preseason NFL football season starts, there ain't really much for your pastor to watch on TV. Even though Time Warner's got 1,500 channels. Ain't it a shame we just be trying to find something to watch. And as I've gotten older, I've stopped watching a lot of TV. I just don't know shows that I really like besides Law and Order and Nine's on Thursday, 10, which is late. So ain't much that I like to watch now on TV, and especially from a sports perspective. There ain't nothing much for me to watch. As surprising as it might sound, I am not a big NBA fan. It's too much entertainment. It's too long. It's just I will watch the finals, but I can't sit through a whole NBA game. I used to be a huge Lakers fan, but ain't nothing to be a fan about. Once they got rid of Shaq, I was done with the Lakers. Magic ain't been able to provide no magic. So I don't have a team to watch. So until the finals come, I'm not a big NBA fan. So there's not really much for me to watch, except for one show that I do watch in the summer. And it's called America's Got Talent. I don't know why I like that show, because I ain't got no talent. That's my first aunt. I won't use it again. I don't have second mama. My mama counts my aunts. I don't have any talent, but I do enjoy watching America's Got Talent, especially the early scenes and the early episodes of it, because you see all the silliness of people who think they have talent, but they don't have, like most of us, any talent. They try real hard, and they make fools of themselves claiming that they have talent, but they don't have much talent. And then it gets pretty good as the season goes on, as you see people who really have talent, who are ventriloquists, who are opera singers. The gospel choir stays for a while, but they don't make it usually too far. Amen. The dance team stay for a while, but they don't make it usually to the finals. Usually a ventriloquist or a singer is the one who always wins. And sometimes some these people who have all these lights and theatrics, they win. But it's interesting to watch America's Got Talent. And if you watch America's Got Talent, you know there are four judges. Simon Cowell, who founded the show. Heidi Klum. Howard Mandel. And the fourth judge is a young lady by the name of Mel B. Mel B, of course, is one of the original Spice Girls, who started a girl hip-hop group in 1994 in London. And interesting enough, through my research, I have found out that the Spice Girls, I ain't never heard a song they sang, because they're not on 95.3 or on my iPhone, but they are the number one female-selling group of all time out of London. You might know some of their songs, but I didn't find out about their songs until last week. Still don't know none of them. But I do know that Mel B is one of the judges on America's Got Talent, and she's an original member of the Spice Girls, founded in 1994, and is now the largest grossing hip-hop female group of all time. They were founded in 1994, but the most important Spice Girls came in 33 A.D. We learn through our children today that after Jesus died, there was some women who came that first Easter morning to anoint his body with some spices. I have always been kind of curious about that, Ron, because I could not understand, especially those women who were there during the burial, how they thought that they were going to move that stone away. I did not understand it, because Matthew would tell us that there was this great stone that they put in front of the sepulcher, and I'm wondering how these women thought they were going to move the stone. stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed, and there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. Now, we think because we read Matthew that we know there's this great stone there, and we think that they're just two women. But it suggests to us in Luke, and why I like Luke so much, the historian, is because Luke would suggest to us that there's more than just two women who come that other morning. He says they. He gives it more plurality to it, that there were several women who came to anoint his body that Sunday morning. So I've always kind of been confused. How did these women think that they were going to move that stone and get in the tomb and anoint his body? And then I'm thinking again, why did they come? Did they come because he did not have a proper burial on Friday? Is it true that because of the earthquake, because of the lightning, is it true that because there was not enough time that they did not give us him and a proper Jewish burial? Because in a proper Jewish burial, the body is just anointed with spices and alloys, is wrapped in linen cloth, and in 24 hours it has to be buried. And what happens is, in this time, before modern science and technology, Dr. Parker, a person would have to sit with the body for 24 hours to make sure the body didn't wake up. That's where we get our funeral term, wake, for that we have sometimes the night before the funeral. It's called a wake because people literally would have to sit with the body to make sure that the body didn't wake up. Wasn't no coroner. Wasn't no medical examiner. Wasn't no nursing supervisor. Wasn't no certifier on the death certificate. They had to make sure their butt was dead. So they sat with you for 24 hours to make sure you didn't wake up. So that's where we get the term wake. Thank you, Undertaker, for teaching me something today. And so I have been teaching Elder Lakin that they came to give him a proper burial because they did not have time to do it on Friday. But that ain't what John tells us. John says, I ain't got on my bifocals. Afterwards, Joseph of Arimathea, who had been a secret disciple of Jesus for fear of the Jewish leaders, boldly asked Pilate for permission to take Jesus' body down, and Pilate told him to go ahead. So he came and took it away. Nicodemus, the man who had come to Jesus at night, came too, bringing 100 pounds of embalming ointment made from myrrh and aloes. Together, they wrapped Jesus' body in a long linen cloth, saturated with the spices, as is the Jewish custom of burial. The place of crucifixion was near a grove of trees where there was a new tomb never used before, and so because of the need for haste before the Sabbath and because the tomb was close at hand, they laid him there. John says that he was embalmed, that he was anointed, that they put the spices on him before they buried him, that in other words, he did have a proper Jewish burial. John says that they did everything correctly. John says that they had enough time because they took the time. But you know, that's not the first time he's anointed and embalmed. It actually happened on Wednesday night when Mary's Martha's sister took the, some Bible readers up in here. When Mary's Martha's sister took the spikenard, broke it open, and poured all of it on his feet. And Judas gets mad because we could have sold that as a chicken dinner to pay for phase two. Of the congregation of the church, so we won't have people sitting in the aisles. We could have sold that and put that on put that on the mortgage, little piece. We could have sold that. But Mary took it all and put all the spikenard, which was in the present day embalming fluid, on his feet. And the reason why she pours it on his feet, because Mary had a sense in her spirit and in her discernment that he was going to need his feet later on in the week. So she pours it all, Daddy, on his feet and preserves his feet because she knew he was going to need his feet later on in the week. She had done that Wednesday even before he needed his feet on Sunday. See, God will prepare you. God will get you ready for
name Jesus. Help me, somebody, on this Resurrection Sunday morning. If you lose your house, if you lose your car, if you lose your job, God's got something better for you. He'd already been anointed that Wednesday. She didn't really know what she was doing, but God knew what he was doing. And there's sometimes in our lives we think God has made a mistake. That sometimes in our lives we don't understand the hand of God. That's why your faith got to check in. Your faith has got to tell you that all things work together for my good according to them that love God and according to call to his purpose. So that still begs the question. If he was embalmed on Wednesday and Friday, why did the women go back on that first Easter morning to pour more spices on his body? They did it Wednesday. John says Nicodemus bought 100 pounds of it. Nicodemus used all Jesus' life insurance. They embalmed her again on Friday. Why did they come back on Monday and do it again? Luke says that the women came back on that first Easter morning. Not the men. I ain't got enough time to talk about them. Got enough time to tell you why they weren't there. But the Bible says that the women came. Women ain't scared to serve their Lord. Women ain't scared to sing in the choir. Women ain't scared to be in the missionary society. Women ain't scared to wake up even if their hair ain't done, just put some hair on top. The women ain't scared to serve the Lord. And the Bible says that the woman came back early. Somebody say early. Early Sunday morning to put some more spices on their Savior's body. And I found out why. David tells us why in Psalms 16. David said, therefore my heart is glad. And my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. David, the king. David